GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
We are turning to the hurling because we had two quarterfinals on over the weekend. On Saturday, obviously, it was Clare against Wexford. Just 10,000 at Porkeycueve. Finished up with Clare winning out 27 points to 117. And then yesterday, in the rain at Semple Stadium, it finished up Limerick 27 points, Kilkenny 122. An amazing game right to the very end when this happened.
Morrissey of Ahan and Limerick galloping away. It's still Morrissey on the 45, inside the 45, over the crossbar by the great man that is Tom Morrissey. Limerick in front.
3 minutes injury time, Mal.
Ball dropped in towards the fringe of the square. The ball
we
breaks loose. Limerick,
and we're over it.
It's all over. Limerick have beaten Kilkenny for the first time since 1973.
Yeah, there you are, Mal Keaveney, Leo O'Connor, very happy on Limerick's Live 95. We have Jamesy O'Connor and Dermot Gizzy Ling on the line. So, Gizzy, the world stops for World Cup final, and hurling people everywhere say, well, look what Kilkenny and Limerick do. Be under no illusion, anyone. There's only one sport in town. It was an amazing game.
Yeah, it was, Joe. I don't know. It was always a thing, and I noticed it when I worked probably on off the ball more than anything else, that how almost ridiculous it is to compare hurling to rugby or to soccer or to Gaelic football or to whatever. You know, that it was seen as something that was hurling people were kind of ardnosuch, or they were maybe uncertain about themselves or something, and then they'd always put themselves forward or have to defend their own game. But I think everybody is kind of on the one track at the moment, and it's interesting that it was involving a Kilkenny team too, Joe, because to be honest, I do sincerely think that when I look at the contribution that Brian Cody has made to hurling as a kind of guardian of hurling over the last 20 years, I think that in a time where there's definitely aspects of sport that are hugely questionable, in terms of, I suppose, the movement towards the consumerist entertainment model of sport, that they're at the heart of hurling, definitely as one of the guardians of the game, Brian Cody has kept an integral line, has promoted spirit ahead of everything else, genuineness, sincerity, and put forward those qualities. And then when they come up against a superior team, and similarly to the Galway game as well, and numerous other times this year, not to mention other years, but when coming up against it, the graciousness with which they went down, but yet still stayed in the battle and stayed in the fight of it, and created the great game that it was. I think there's a lot to be said for that, and I think we've a lot to be thankful for in GAA and in hurling that Brian Cody has brought those qualities and brought that to the national stage, and to which we week in, week out at the moment get to enjoy.
Yeah, I think everyone would agree with that. Jamesy, I must confess, when Richie Hogan scored that goal, I kind of just laughed, to be honest. I just said, these are unbelievable. Like, I don't know how Cody does this. I don't know what he does. They are unbelievable. Because it, you know, the saves from Owen Murphy kept Kilkenny in the game to an extent. But when Hogan scored that goal, you just thought, this is too much.
Yeah, and he just made that move, you know, shortly beforehand. He pulled off Colin Fennelly and, you know, shoved Richie in, and Suzuka last throw the dice in one sense. But, you know, I think everyone in the stadium was wondering, here we go again. But, you know, Tom Morrissey caught the next puck out. It was an unbelievable score and an unbelievable response from Limerick, the 3 points they got. And even at the very end, the crucial score, you know, Limerick walked the ball out from the back on a day when, you know, it was conditions weren't conducive to it. Tom Morrissey picked the ball up on his own 45-metre line, and James Maher probably sprinted 30 yards, devoured the ground. Morrissey took off, accelerated away. Maher stayed with him and then, you know, kind of slipped a la Fergal Hagerty on Kieran Carey in 96. And it was an unbelievable score to edge Limerick, Limerick clear. And it was, you know, we did some fantastic games. And I was in Turris yesterday, Joe, and I walked out thinking, you know what, that was the game of the year. It was just epic stuff. And the manner of the victory, more than the win itself, will be a massive shot in the arm for Limerick. And they'll march on now with massive momentum to the semi-final with Cork in a fortnight's time.
And how better a side were Limerick than Kilkenny yesterday, Jamesy? I mentioned the Owen Murphy saves, which maybe kept Kilkenny in the game to an extent. By the same token, in the first 11 minutes of that second half, they had 7 wides.
They did. I think Kilkenny had 15 wides in total. And any day, Joe, the wides come gets into double digits, you're in trouble. And, you know, it was interesting. About 25 minutes in, Cody read the riot act to Colin Fennelly, called him out towards the sideline. And I don't know whether the message was, you know, take my Casey on, but he wasn't doing it and he wasn't happy with him. And, like, Walter Walsh was a huge loss yesterday, Joe, as well. And you know, in a game when you shoot 15 wides, you lose by a couple of points, and you smash the lead with 6 minutes left, normally you expect Kilkenny to close it out. But I think the story is probably more Limerick than anything else, and the results that they showed. But Kilkenny will certainly feel that, look, at the opportunities were there. And, you know, John Donnelly made a huge difference when he came in. Richie Lahey, 4 points from play. But they just, as I said, had 15 wides, and those come back to haunt you, and I think they did yesterday. And it was a game that was certainly there for Kilkenny. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think, you know, the way Limerick, you know, clawed it back, and the manner in which they kept their nerve, kept their composure, and kept playing to the style that they played it all year.
Yeah.
That accurate, short, stick passing game. I think they deserve huge credit for that, because there was a guy behind me, a Limerick supporter, screaming for them to go long all day. And the conditions, as I said, it was greasy. The second half was very wet, but they stuck to their guns, and huge credit to Paul Kinnear, the management, and the players for, as I said, having faith in what they were doing and believing in it.
Yeah, Gizzy, just three of Limerick's scores of their 27 points came from place balls. There were two frees and there was a sideline cut. The other 24 all came from play. How impressed were you with Limerick, how they went about their business, how they hit back after the Hogan goal?
I mean, I think definitely in terms of the forward line, Joe, looking at, I mean, Tom Morrissey, 4 points, as James already said, that the big score, even though his last score was probably the far more impressive score and in the bigger story of the game, maybe, you know, because it's obviously about results, and that was the one to put them ahead. But it was the answer to Richie Hogan's goal, I thought, which was massive from Tom Morrissey. But then you've got Aaron Gillan, Seamus Flanagan, Kyle Hayes, Jar Hegarty, all contributing 3 points from play. I mean, it's a phenomenal return. And you're talking also about four of those players, Tom Morrissey having scored 4 points, you're talking about four of those players having won under 21 All-Ireland last year. So the quality is up front, the quality that they have, and the attitude, I suppose, the response that they have to the questions that are there about how they'll deal with pressure and then any limited amount of success, and they've had success at this stage, how they deal with expectation. Those are definitely two of the big things that face any Limerick team that get any degree of success, is like an expectation comes on, and then when the pressure comes on, how do they deal with it? And I thought in terms of their response, young players stood up and really they didn't break down as a team in any shape or form. They gelled together more than anything else. And in the overall, in those moments, in those last few moments of games, you see in the overall energy of the players. Now, I know there's definitely a question about, I know Brian Cody totally decided it was nothing to do with it, but the element of tiredness towards the end of a game, having played three games on their third game in 14 days,
yeah,
maybe there is something there. But for Limerick, definitely in that time, you sense that this is where the big question is of them. This is where the questions of their mentality are. And if you're going to make assertions that you don't adhere to what's gone on in the Limerick past, which is what some of the players have said, if, you know, we're not part of that, well, this is a new team. But those things run deep in players and in teams. Those kind of deeper things are, I can derail you when the pressure comes on most, and the pressure most certainly did come on, and they were true to their word. They weren't affected by it.
Yeah, they certainly tried to play that weight of history down afterwards to a man. They did, but as you said, those things run deep. You're reared on them, and it runs both ways. Kilkenny teams expect to come back because they're reared on similar feats. How do they shape up against Cork then, Jamesy?
I don't think Cork would fancy seeing them coming, because, you know, the earlier match was an unbelievable game as well, Joe. I mean, obviously Gillan, you know, walked the line early, and they played much of that match with 14 men, and Declan Hannan went off injured early on as well, and Dan Morrissey went in centre-back. So I think Limerick won't have any fear, you know, of Cork. Now, that said, it was Cork's third game. Cork were probably flat, and Cork were 3 points down and showed a lot of resolve to come back and lead, and Limerick got the equaliser. So I think it's going to be a match, Joe, like all the matches were in Munster this year. Toss a coin. There's very, very little between these teams. Cork obviously will want to atone for last year, and, you know, Cork have that swagger about them, and it seems to be very much player-led. You know, that John Myler and the Cork management team were out well before the Cork players emerged in the second half of that Munster final. There was a stage as well in the earlier Clare match when, you know, there was an injury. Robbie Flynn went down injured, and Nash was out, and you could see the senior Cork players again in huddles talking to each other, and you know, they closed out the match well that day as well. So Cork have really impressed me. There's something different about them this year. The players just seem to have taken ownership of it. But Limerick have momentum now, and I think, you know, it's a 50-50 game, and they will feel that, you know, after beating Kilkenny in the manner that it is, there's no reason why they can't beat anybody.
Yeah. So Kilkenny Limerick was a cracker. It was it just wasn't a great occasion between Clare and Wexford. 10,000 in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. It never caught fire. I guess the GAA maybe need to look at going back to a double header and cramming 35,000 into Semple Stadium. But that conversation's for another day. Gizzy, I want to get a feel. Where are Wexford? I mean, you're obviously very familiar with all the players, and like the Davy project, so to speak. You think back to Wexford Park last year, the Kilkenny game. Lee Chin was everywhere. They played to a system. You felt they were becoming more and more comfortable with it. And honestly, you thought that night as a neutral observer, God, I'm looking forward to seeing where they are in 2018 when they really grow into this. And now here we are. And it seemed like some of the fizz has gone out of things, or it hasn't quite developed. So, is this team playing to its potential? Is the Davy thing working? Give us your assessment.
I think there's two forces that have kind of combined with Wexford. Davy Fitzgerald has come in, and what Davy Fitzgerald brings to all the teams that he is involved in is a phenomenal energy. I don't know how he does it even. I don't know how the great orators or leaders or whoever they are who instill this energy and belief and passion in people, and they drag something out of them. And he's definitely done that in Wexford to great effect. I think that you can have that with a degree of chaos, and it gets lost. Energy fizzles out into places that it shouldn't do. And the one thing that Davy Fitz has brought is a level of organisation that has been seen too often in Wexford before. And when that level of organisation meets that intense energy, you're going to push forward, which is what they did in 2017 to a huge extent. This team really pushed forward in 2017, and we all were the same as you said, you know, looking forward to 2018. And I think that there were still definitely some performances. I mean, it's no secret, you know, Davy, I think, pushes them very, very hard. There's an intensity that can only last so long, I think, for amateur players to be faced with that intensity from very early in, very late in the previous year or very early in the year. To meet that intensity all the time, I think, you get the sense that it's going to run out. I think then, coming to the quarter final, that little bit more pressure comes on, and you see where players are at in their development and how able they are for the standard that the likes of Clare are going to bring. And when that's kind of rubbed up against a little bit, then any cracks that are there begin to show. And I think that's what we've seen. Mm. And one of the things I think that stands out most, if we took a player like Limog McGovern, when we have the system, and I saw Jackie Tyrrell was talking about it, saying that the system has gone as far as it can go, and now teams are wise to it, particularly Clare, who played it for so long and who Davy coached. You know, they knew it inside out. So Davy mentioned after the game about how flummoxed Clare were when they went with the three-man full forward line. I don't know, do you start with that and flummox them from the beginning, yeah, as opposed to letting Clare get a few points ahead? And this system is not designed to play from behind anyway. But when you look at, just if you were to look at individually, somebody like Limog McGovern, who's an off-the-cuff player, a stylish player, a beautiful player to look at, and a very, very complete and capable. Maybe in his development he's been slowed by injury, but when I look at him inside, full forward on his own, and he's to deal with Patrick O'Connor and David Fitzgerald, and there's not the same level of, I know you have to play a role for the team, and that's always a good thing, but I think if you're talking about moving on, if you're talking about going on to All-Ireland semi-finals and All-Ireland finals, you need a player like Limog McGovern coming in, Conor MacDonald, whoever it is, coming in and having a role where they're really enjoying their play, as opposed to kind of having to play their role for the team. Having to play a role for the team is grand, but that's all it really is. It's just grand. If you're going to get things organised, get a structure in, push the lads hard, do that for a year, they got to where they got to. But then the shackles have to come off a little bit, I think, and a little bit more pushing up, a little bit more belief in where these players are, because they're only at a certain point now, Joe.
Yeah.
And we say, okay, this is all that Wexford are capable of, but that's going to change when you give them that freedom, when you cut them loose a little bit more, when you give Liam McGovern and players like that freedom. And then they come in, and that transfers into training sessions, and that transfers into the talks that they have themselves when their best players are given a little bit more freedom to be their best versions of themselves as players. I think you're going to go an awful lot further. And I think within this system, I don't think that that's the way. And especially with the fact now that we've seen Clare can do it, Kilkenny can do it, Tipperary can do it, Galway can do it. They've all worked out how to beat the sweeper system. Yeah. It's good to a point. I think we just need to move on.
Yeah, okay, interesting. Jamesy, I know you wrote, I think it was on the Sky website today, opposing teams, and it's pretty much what Gizzy's saying, opposing teams know how to handle Wexford. They know that by playing to the wings, they can hit 23 points plus against them, whereas Wexford won't always respond with a tally like that. What about what Gizzy's saying there about Wexford?
Yeah, I think it's probably, you know, reach the end of the line. I think Davey has to come back with something different, something fresh for the Wexford players. Now, I thought, you know, going down, it was a 50-50 game because there were two Wexfords this year. There was the Wexford side that were, you know, just not at the races against Galway. And then there was a Wexford team that played superb stuff for probably 45 minutes against Kilkenny and probably should have won that game. And, you know, the real Wexford probably lie somewhere in between. And I was expecting, you know, it was a big game. They had the guts of a month off, I suppose, to get themselves ready for it. And I thought they'd bring huge energy and huge fire to Parkettive on Saturday evening. And, you know, at half-time, Clare were 7 clear. And to be honest about it, you know, if you put down some wayward shooting, some bad use of the ball by Clare, they really should have been out of sight.
Yeah.
Conor McDonald was the only Wexford forward that had scored from play. And I thought that, you know, David Dunn and McGovern both missed last year's championship through injury. And I thought that, you know, with those two guys back, because they have pace, that, you know, if anything, Wexford would have evolved a bit more and would be more potent this year. But, you know, like the sweeper's use of the ball was very, Sean Murphy's use of the ball distribution, I thought, was very, very poor in the first half as well. And as I said, teams just now have probably figured it out. And, you know, 7 points behind at half time, you're reckoning, unless they get goals, they're just not built or equipped to come from behind. And it was only when they pushed up in the last quarter and Clare again probably got a little bit ragged that suddenly it became a contest again. But Clare kicked on, and I thought 7 points, the final margin, was probably an accurate reflection of the gap that was between the teams. And, you know, I don't know whether the system and what's required of players in that system. I mean, there's massive energy levels. You know, if you're Jim Rocky, for example, you're expected to cover huge ground. And the Wexford players, I thought some of them just looked drained. And, you know, they kept fighting to the end. And as I said, to their credit, I mean, they got it back to 3 or 4
and they
points.
Had, you and know, at
an inopportune time. But
at that point, they had some terrible wides as well, actually.
Yeah, it doesn't help. And I think that they had 10 wides, I think, alone in the second half, Joe. But, you know, Clare just really, I mean, the goal, McDonald's goal brought them back into it when Clare just appeared to be cruising.
Yeah.
And Clare wobbled for a little bit, but to be fair, finished strongly again, and Clare were always going to have a period again at the end of the game, I think, where they were going to, you know, get a bit of possession, have a few chances, and they kicked on well. But I thought that 7 points was probably an accurate reflection, and it was disappointing from Wexford. And I think Davey has to revisit it and re-look at it, because I just don't see them, you know, playing that system next year, you know, going any further than they did this year.
Okay. Clock's coming against us. It's one of those, it's about the busiest week of sport we have. So we'll talk Clare Galway in due course. But for the time being, lads, Dermot and Jamesy, thanks so much. Cheers, lads.
Cheers. Thanks, Joe. GAA on
Off the Ball. Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.